Greetings and welcome to Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammy Three Tears.
Oh, very clever. I see what you did there. Yes, maybe that's a good enough lead-in to tell you about the band that we listened to this week. Hollywood Undead. How did we come across Hollywood Undead, Hammond? Was this a listener
recommendation or one of your? This was me. I've been asking for us to do them probably for two or three seasons now.
Yeah.
And they always got kind of back-burnered because we had other things. Like, we had our Prox Ga season that one year. And then this last season, we kind of steered hard away from anything too hard or heavy last time. So this time it was a good pickup.
You know what? It was a really good pickup. And if you're at the end of the last episode, the Fall Out Boy episode, Hammond, when we said that this was next week's episode, Hammond had some trepidation with me saying it's either going to be a good week, Brian, or a very bad week. And actually, I'm going to say, I enjoyed this a lot more than I expected. And it's funny because I would have thought, all right, well, there's no way I've got any Hollywood Undead in my library. Turns out I do, because thanks to Apple Music Family Plan, you know, basically I share my account with
Tristan.
Tina and Tristan. And exactly. I actually had a few songs from Hollywood Undead in my library already because Tristan had bought them. And
yeah, I don't see Tina listening to Hollywood Undead.
No, although she did listen to it this weekend because of me. And she came out of it thinking about the same thing that I did on these songs. So let's get into it. Let's start talking about this and jump in with both feet, right?
Yeah.
Hollywood Undead is a rock rap group from LA. They formed back in 2005. When they first got together, they performed as The Kids, Jarrell Decker, or J-Dog, Aaron Ehrlichman, Deuce, Jeff Phillips, Shady Jeff, posted a song on their MySpace page, and they got a lot of good feedback from it. This led them to form Hollywood Undead, with George Reagan, Johnny Three Tears, Jordan Terrell, Charlie Scene, Dylan Alvarez, Funny Man, and Matthew Busick, DeCurls. Decker said in an interview that they formed the group with whoever was in the room and could play an instrument. I think that's the way a lot of bands probably are formed. Later on, Jeff Phillips left the group because of conflicts with Aaron Ehrlichman.
I got a text from you midweek saying, what is it with you and bands that wear masks? And there is that.
Right.
But I will tell you that when I first heard these guys, I didn't know they wore masks. I heard Been to Hell, and I liked it because I actually thought it was they were somehow connected with Linkin Park, because the guy who does this kind of singy yelly parts of Been to Hell, he sounded a lot like Chester. And I thought there's got to be some connection. So I went digging, found out there wasn't a connection. But then I found out that these guys actually had some stuff I really liked. And then I discovered they wore masks. So it's not a prerequisite, but it was something I stumbled upon.
Yeah. It is funny, though. I mean, that is the first thing that because I saw their album covers and I thought, all right, I assumed that they were always like they were full on masks, like Mushroom Head, like you said, Mushroom Head or Slipknot, but and Ghost. You know, it is funny how many of these we've had on the show. I think Gwar is probably not too far in our
future. Yeah, Gwar is a way off because I just can't. I don't get Gwar. I like him. I just don't get him. So I don't think I could suggest it.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could do it, Hammond. Let's talk about their first album, 2008's Swan Songs. It only took the band a year to record this album, but it took them another 2 years. Label that would not ask them to change their music and lyrical content. Nice. This album reached number 22 on the Billboard charts. A UK release of the same album arrived in 2009 with two bonus tracks. They released Swan Songs B-sides in the summer of 2009 just through iTunes. In November of 2009, they released a DVD CD set called Desperate Measures, which also contains six new songs. Three of them were covers.
This also reached number 29 on the album charts and number 15 on the digital charts. So these are guys who actually learned how to leverage kind of this new
digital right away.
Yeah, this new form of music marketing right away. Yeah.
Very smart of them. In 2010, Aaron Ehrlichman left the group. good because I don't want to say his name anymore, has later said that it was over writing credits. Daniel Murillo was hired to replace him.
Murillo had just advanced in the audition process of season 9 of American Idol and had dropped out to join the band.
It's probably good decision, right? I mean, you're still in the audition process. You're not in the week-to-week live show kind of stuff. And this opportunity comes up. I'd say it's probably a smart bet.
Yeah, it's a good.
Still have a long way to go before you make it any further in the show.
Yeah, it's a good move.
They toured with Avenged Sevenfold and Stone Sour. Good fit for these guys.
Yep. And I was going to say this shows you the fact that they might be a rap group, but because of their heavy rock influences and kind of their overall presentation, they fit in very well with, you know, Sevenfold and Slipknot and Stone Sour.
The EP Black Dahlia Remixes was also released in 2010. They released a few singles ahead of the album. The first single, Hear Me Now, was released in late 2010, and it charted well across many genres. The second single was Coming In Hot. The third single was Been to Hell. That was released in early 2011.
And like I said, this is the one that when I heard the singing chorus part of it, it really did sound a lot like Chester. And I'm like, no wonder he's wearing a mask. He doesn't want to pull away from Linkin Park. And then I realized that I was way off.
That it was totally not the same guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that vocalist that features, I think, in all or most of the songs on my playlist. I really like the juxtaposition of his voice with the rap stuff that you hear in the rest of the songs.
Yep.
It's a good combo. In 2008, Christmas in Hollywood was released.
I will tell you that I cannot play any clips of this song, but it is hysterical. Find it.
Okay. Yeah, you could probably play the first half of the first verse on the show. It's pretty good. It's really good.
Yeah.
All right. In 2011, they released the album American Tragedy. This debuted at number 4 and it peaked at number 2. It also sold really well in other markets.
There were some songs on the first two albums that made me really think that poking fun and parodying their own style of music, because it just didn't seem like they were taking it all that seriously. Kind of like what Ghost does, where they seem like they're kind of part Spinal Tapping their way through it. But
yeah.
But then when you listen to the other lyrics and other songs, they're totally like angry and angst ridden and talking about how they died for the music and all kinds of stuff like that. So I don't know how to take them sometimes.
There are definite different sides to the band, both, you know, even among in one album, you'll hear a couple different sides. Mm-hmm. And then I think there's also kind of like what we talked about with some of these other bands, how there is a 1.0 and a 2.0. Like there's a definite switch that happens probably right around American Tragedy or one of the next couple albums, that it's kind of a different style altogether. Definitely very Eminem sounding for the first part, and a little bit less of that and more hard rock. You know, Linkin Park's a great comparison.
Yeah. I actually made a note where I think the line is, and we're coming up on it here soon.
Oh, good. Okay. Yep. Excellent. We'll talk about that then. After going through a rigorous tour schedule, they released American Tragedy Redo.
And this was a really cool idea because they had pro mixes and fan remixes on the album. So they gave fans the opportunity to remix things, and they showcased their work as well, which I think is really kind of cool.
It is cool. Yeah, I noticed that when I saw that on iTunes, listened to a little bit of it, but didn't realize they were fans. That's really, really cool.
The song Bullet is the strangest song on the album and probably in their entire catalog, because it is the Partridge Family Suicide song.
It is, and it's we're going to talk about that in my playlist in a little bit. While they were on tour in late 2011, they started work on their new album. Artist Direct called their next album one of the most anticipated albums of the year. This put them in a list with Linkin Park, Metallica, and Black Sabbath. High praise, for sure.
Exactly.
2013, that album was Notes from the Underground. We Are was the first single. The title track followed just a short time after that.
words and your name on the marquee. And I can hold it up, but I hold it up hardly. Tired of hearing hell, but it's getting real dark. See, so are you sick in the bitterness of the lonely? Are you overdosed in you miles of caffeine?
The video for this, or the video for We Are, was directed by Sean Crahan. For those that don't know who he is, he's the clown from Slipknot. So there's their connection as well.
There is the connection. This album debuted at number 2 in the US and number 1 in Canada.
This is where I think the line is where they became actually better at what they do and were started taking things a little bit more seriously. They still were funny. There's still some very funny songs on the album. There's humor, but it seems like they just got better at what they do.
Yeah, it's different. I really like the first half. Between the two halves of the catalog, they were both good. I think I enjoyed the first half a lot more because of that tongue-in-cheek Eminem, really crass, really hard-edged, but still playing into that electronic keyboardy thing, mm-hmm. rap, and then a sung chorus,
yeah.
and then back to the rap, and then a sung chorus. And I kind of really like that. But that's cool with a group like this where you've got those two sides that can please different types of fans.
Yeah. And also I will throw in too that there's a song on the album called Up in Smoke, and it basically is actually a fairly good depiction of what addiction is, where you go out, you get out of rehab and you get high to celebrate.
Right, basically revolving door right mm-hmm. back.
Yep.
2015, Day of the Dead was released. The title track was the first single, and Usual Suspects followed. Man, all she had left was Menage a Trois. Rolled in the pink, I picked up some Cuervo. Walking sideways, then I'm starting to swerve. Last night was wild, put my money at jumbos. Wine and dine, tickle bitties and pimples. Hollywood Rat Pack, cancel my backpack. And then Gravity was released, all as lead up to the album release. So again, kind of taking advantage of that digital, mm-hmm. that new way of digitally marketing. In 2017, they released 5. California Dreaming was leaked and then released as the lead single. There's a few things like this where I look at the track list and think, oh, this is probably another cover. And no, it's not. And always fakes me out. And I always wonder if the band does that because somebody's going to buy it accidentally thinking they're going for the Mamas and the Papas.
Or maybe they're just targeting you, Brian.
Well, and it almost worked, Hollywood and Dan. You almost had me. Pretty sneaky. The other singles that were released were Whatever It Takes and Renegade, also not a cover. In October of 2017, Da Curls left the band to follow new projects. They ended up releasing We Own the Night and Black Cadillac as singles near the end of the year. In November of 2018, an EP called Psalms was released. This included 3 new songs. Other releases as singles were Gotta Let Go and Another Level. And in 2020, they released New Empire Volume 1. As per their pattern, they released Already Dead and Time Bomb as pre-release singles. Actual album release.
Reagan, Johnny Three Tears, has said that this is an attempt to kind of reimage the band again. And there is a definite shift in their production and sound going into this album as well. So I'm really, as someone who's owned all their things, I'm really interested to see what the next album sounds like and looks like.
For sure. I'd check it out for sure after listening this week. definitely enjoyed it a lot more than probably we both thought I would.
Yeah. If I had my money, I would have felt, you know, I would have said you probably had two or three songs you really liked.
Mm-hmm. And on then each album or?
No, just overall. In general. That you would have had two or three that you're like, I like this one, I like this one. And then the rest of it, you'd be mad at me for.
Yeah, it's probably better than that. I'd say it's
no,
better than
I'm
that.
Sure. Yeah, just based on your enthusiasm, it's definitely better than that. So
yeah,
and you're still laughing and talking to me. So yeah,
I am exactly. I don't hate you. So there you go. All right. Well, let's talk about their statistics and general notes.
I mentioned this a couple times before, but as you listen to it, Ben, straight through, you can definitely hear them become better musicians and better at their craft. The evolution is right there in the recordings. And by the time you go from American Tragedy to New Empire, you've got, you know, mature-er people writing mature-er songs.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure. You can hear that hard line where it changes. Mm-hmm. So you might find yourself on one side of the line. You might like both. Who knows?
Yeah. Maybe, I like them both. I like all the phases of them because I can appreciate the growth. I don't know, but there's something I like. I can find to like about every album. And the other thing I wanted to bring up is they're way more popular than I thought they were. Like, I knew people liked them, but I had no idea that their album was the most anticipated album up there with Metallica and Linkin Park and Black Sabbath.
Yeah, that's a huge comparison, or like a really high praise coming from which that was a magazine, right? It was Artist Direct, mm-hmm. that or a website, I guess. Artist Direct. Yeah, really cool. So, all right, let's say you get to see the band in concert. Which song of theirs do you think is a guarantee that you're going to hear? Now, this is a tougher one for me to jump in on. So I think having you talk about having more familiarity with the band, what is their popular stuff? What are the big singles, the early singles that this could be?
So I'm thinking American Tragedy. I'm thinking Hear Me Now. I'm thinking of Been to Hell, Another Way Out, which is relatively new. It's newer. Then Undead and then Coming In Hot is my choice. I think Coming In Hot was one of the early singles. I feel like it's something they're probably going to play every time they perform. So yeah. My money's on Coming In Hot.
That's probably a good choice. I'm pulling it up right now. The artist statistics. Undead. So their title, or not really title track, their namesake track.
It's more like their mission statement.
It is their mission. Yeah, there you go. That's probably the best way to describe it. Here's our business card. Thank you very much. Everywhere I Go, Coming In Hot is number 3. Hear Me Now, Been to Hell, Bullet, City, Dead Bite, Another Way Out, and Young, rounding out the top 10. It was funny. There was a whole album where I think every track on the album except for one was a 2-word title.
Oh, that's funny.
Their most played cover isn't one of the ones that they've done on their albums. So No Immigrant Song or Shout at the Devil or anything like that. It's Folsom Prison Blues by Johnny Cash, which that's a great one for them to do.
Yeah. I might have to find that and drop it in somewhere.
Totally. They also cover Seven Nation Army, Enter Sandman, Duhast.
Duhast would be good.
Yeah, that's a really good one. What I Got by Sublime, that fits perfectly. Oh, yeah. Mary Jane's Last Dance, Tainted Love, Living on a Prayer, both ones I'd love to see. Blister in the Sun, another good one that I'd love to see.
So this tells me that they might have their style of music they perform, but their inspirations and their influences are coming from all over the place.
Totally, from classic rock to metal, Metallica, White Stripes in there, a little bit more alternative. Yeah, I mean they're all over the place. And when you have a band that's like made up of quote unquote everybody in the room, you get a whole bunch of different influences all jumping in there. So speaking of covers, I did get mine plugged in here. It's funny because this one came up after I finished listening to Hollywood Undead. And I thought, now this is one that I could actually hear Hollywood Undead covering. May not be very familiar to a lot of people, but I urge you to check it out if you're not familiar with it. The song is called Sex Bomb. And as far as I know, the earliest recording of it is by Moose T, maybe Moose T with Tom Jones. It was included on the Reloaded album, which was a Tom Jones almost all cover album. But I can't find a version of it that took place before that that's just Moose T. So it might be originally the two of them, or it might just be originally Moose T. Anyway, it is perfectly blue, perfectly raucous for this band to be able to cover. They could sing, they could basically do what they normally do. And I'm picturing 1.0 Hollywood Undead mm-hmm. doing this cover, where it's a sung chorus and then verses as opposed to singing them. And it would fit perfectly with their style, I think.
So I went kind of in a different direction. I went toward their kind of street vibe. I picked mm-hmm. Empire by Queensryche. And this is a song, a 90s song about violence and the government. The topic fits. It might be a prog song, but by far it's more of a straight ahead rock song. And I really think they could do some interesting things with it in the chorus and vocally. And it's got drops of radio clips and announcers saying things about statistics. I think it could really fit in and do some really cool things with it.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, that'd be a good one. I'm not familiar with it, but I'll have to listen to it. But I like that. I like that style of inserting found audio into mm-hmm. songs. It always interests me because I try and figure out where that found audio comes from.
Especially it's like 19 or something. 19 is a hit, not because of the 19.
Right.
It's a hit because of the reporter doing the radio reports.
Let's talk about our playlist. This is where we each pick five songs to add to a greatest hits album. I don't even know if they do have, we didn't talk about a greatest hits album, but I did see something that was like a Hollywood Undead Essentials or something.
Yeah, I think there is a greatest hits, but I didn't see any release dates on it, so I didn't put it in the notes, but.
Okay. Well, good. Then that makes things a lot easier because I'll bet you something that I've chosen is,
I picked something that probably will be a hit if it isn't a hit. And I know that like Bullet on your list, sorry, spoiler alert, mm-hmm. Is on their top 10 played in concert.
Yeah. As we saw, yeah. Right. Let's get to it. Number one on my list is My Diary, from the album Swan Songs. This is when I just first started to notice, okay, they've got this Eminem feel to them. Started picking up on the things that were going to be a consistent through line through their music. And so this is kind of like a, hey, are you unfamiliar with Hollywood Undead? My Diary is a good place to start from Swan Songs. It's a very, fits the mold, or like it sets the mold that of the stuff you're going to be hearing in the first half of their catalog. The second one is the aforementioned Bullet from American Tragedy. So this one does come after the line in the sand that you drew that said, all right, here's one.
No, American Tragedy is right before.
Oh, it's right before.
Yeah,
okay.
It's right before.
Oh, yeah, I'm gone again. It's gone on too long. Tell you how it ends. I'm sitting on the edge with my two best friends. One's a bottle of pills and one's a bottle of gin. I'm 20 stories up, yeah, up at the top. I polished off this bottle, now it's pushing me off. Asphalt to me has never looked so soft. I bet my mama found my letter, now she's calling the cop. I gotta take this opportunity.
Then this fits because, yeah, it's the happiest suicide song you're ever going to hear. Seriously, if you take out the lyrics, it's basically the background music for a Target commercial.
And when I read that, I went back and listened to a Target ad on YouTube. You are not wrong.
No, yeah, no, it's dead on. It's like, but then you throw the lyrics on top of it. It's like, okay, that's a great dichotomy. That's a great thing that shouldn't work as well as it does, but it totally does.
Yep.
Bullet from American Tragedy. The next one definitely does come after that hard line. It's from the album Five. It's a song called Ghost Beach. which probably would fit today really well. Again, recording this during the pandemic, the coronavirus pandemic. When the riots ruled the streets like a Sunday parade, everyone was cruising, gang signs were moving. You know how we doing, white lines abusing. On the boulevard, we never go too far. Nothing really matters when you're. And he's talking about how LA has changed, and it's like, it's deserted, and even the beaches, there's nobody out there, and it's like a completely different feeling right now. And it's like, oh yeah, that could easily have been written today about what's going on. And it's just got a really cool vibe. It's got that, the vocalist we talked about, that's got that Chester Bennington kind of sound to it.
Hollywood Undead, the Nostradamus of our time.
Oh, please. Yes. Maybe that's not a thing that they want necessarily. Next one comes from Desperate Measures. I'm contractually obligated to pick one of their covers, so I'm going to do it. Their cover of Led Zeppelin's Immigrant Song is really good and fits their style. It's true to the original, but it injects enough of the Led Zeppelin vibe that it's a good introduction. If you, like I always said, you know, if you're unfamiliar with a band, you could hear one of their covers. If they do covers well, you could hear one of their covers, and you strip out the things you know, which is the song that they're covering, and what you're left with is a good sort of genetic material of the band. And this is a good example of that. Immigrant Song is a really good example.
One of the things I really like about their cover of Shout at the Devil is they throw in like slapsticky noises into yes. it.
I had to go back and look at the lyrics to Shout at the Devil by Motley Crue to make sure that this really was a cover, that I wasn't just mistaken as, you know, like, oh no, it's two songs that are called Shout at the Devil, but we don't know what that one is. But yeah, sure enough, that's another one of their covers. Last one, I'm going right back to the start again. Everywhere I Go from the Swan Songs album. If you want that Eminem, if you want to hear how Eminem-y they can be, this is the most Eminem-y of all their songs. It's crude, but it's still catchy and hilarious, and just has that raunch with electronica backing tracks.
Yep.
So
yep.
These are the five that I actually stuck into my playlist, my shuffle, so that, you know, they'd come up every once in a while. Two or three of these are ones that I actually already had because Tristan bought them. Good kid.
Yeah,
smart kid.
Yep, smart kid. He knew that this was going to happen at some point.
He's the Nostradamus.
Yes.
Yeah, all right, what do you got?
All right, so I picked Levitate from American Tragedy. This is a really catchy, good, solid pop song. And I'm pretty sure that if they were to combine a greatest hits album now, that this would definitely be on there. It's just, this is just a really good, dancey pop song. The next one I picked was Paradise Lost from Swan Songs. And the lyrics are about the stresses and depression felt by him or them. And it's very angsty and kind of, you can feel kind of their anger as they go through this. And it feels very genuine. It feels like they caught the moment on tape when they were at their most frustrated. It's really quite good, even though it's a very different mood than Levitate. The next one I picked was Another Way Out. Again, this one will probably be listed as a hit. I'm not one to dance around the house, but my kids have caught me bopping around, mowing the lawn, bouncing around while I'm doing housework to this song. I'm not a big dancer guy, but this song will bring it out in me. If I'm like pushing a lawnmower, all of a sudden, yeah, I'm kind of bopping around while I'm doing pushing the lawnmower.
And kind of crazy to think that Hollywood Undead would have a song that would just make you dance wherever you're at.
Yeah. You know? You can testify. This is actually a very catchy, dancey tune.
It is. And there's some of their stuff that just is, and I can't explain it any better than that.
The next one I picked was Live Forever. This is from...
Not a cover of Oasis.
No. This is from... What is this? Day of the Dead. This is one of their more mature songs. They have cleverly gotten better at what they do, like I keep saying. This is very singable. You can sit in the car and sing along with this and not kind of feel like you're getting too, like, out of character if you're...
Edgy. Rock.
Yeah. It's just a song you can sing along to. And again, this shows them getting older and growing into music that... It's still theirs, but it's definitely an evolution from where they were. It's not the same, which I, as a listener, appreciate. My last one is Bad Move from 5. This really sets a mood, and again, it's far more complicated and structured than other things, and I didn't pick anything from New Empire, but this shows that they're moving in that direction all the time. So, yeah. Again, you went for the kind of the punchline-y songs. I went for the stuff that showed that they're growing up. And I mean,
I like that you picked volume one, or 1.0. I picked 1.0, you picked 2.0, and it's a great example of what this show can do.
Yeah. Know? And it's weird too, because I like the punchlining stuff too, but as the person who edits it, I'm trying to figure out, I can't put a song in there about he punches a guy in a dick at the end of the fight.
Right. Yeah. No, you've got to be very, you're going to have some hunting to do to find clips from my songs, aren't you? Good. You make you work a little bit. Like you don't already. Awesome. Yeah. I said it again. I'll say one last time. I was pleasantly surprised. I've not yet told my son that I spent the week listening to Hollywood Undead, and I'm trying to decide, do I tell him now or do I wait and link him to this episode? Maybe I wait.
I think you wait.
Say, when this episode comes out, I said, check out what I just did. What I just listened to, man.
So I told my daughter, we did Fall Out Boy, and so she wanted to know what the songs were we picked. And I told her, and she goes, I like Brian's list better.
Yeah. Wow.
So
excellent. Tell her thank you from me.
And then she also likes your list from Panic at the Disco better. She liked your 21 Pilots better. I think she just thinks you're a cooler person. So there is that.
I think you know what it is? I think it's the fact that, you know, she lives with you, and so she automatically has to rebel and go the opposite of you.
Well, my wife told her, though, Stacey told her that just based on those list choices, that she probably would like the Spice Girls too.
Well, okay, then homework for her while she's at home is, yep, to listen to Spice Girls while she's doing her online learning. Love it. Love it. All right. So that wraps up Hollywood Undead. Next week, we are going to follow the music and the career of incredible pianist and songwriter and performer, a showman for sure, if you've seen him perform live at all. Mr. Ben Folds will be the subject of next week's episode of Soundography. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Have you seen him perform?
Not live, but video. I've seen his concert videos, and he is animated and fun and really, really gets into it. So kind of like a, oh my God, why am I blanking on his name? Great Balls of Fire.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Jerry Lee Lewis. Thank you very much. Jeez.
Minus the cousin mirroring, right?
Minus that for sure. Ben Folds, by all accounts, by all appearances, is one of the nicest, coolest guys you'd ever meet. Because, like, I saw him on, not like this is how you can gauge if somebody's cool or not, but he was on that sing-off reality show, the a cappella competition show. And he just seemed like the most cool, genuine dude. I mean, he was sitting there next to one of the Pussycat Dolls and, I can't remember who the other judge on that show was. So maybe it's just the fact that they're more bombastic. And so he kind of, it made him look all the more, down to earth, but he just seems like a guy you could, you know, have a beer with and talk about music, and not be like, oh man, I just love your stuff. And you're just so cool. You're like, yeah. Oh yeah. You like them too? Yeah. I like that band too. Yeah. They're good.
Yep.
That's cool. Get you another beer. All right, good. Anyway, you'd be a fat tire drinker. That's my prediction. Fat tire. But that's next week. We're going to find out. Maybe we'll find out what beer he drinks. Who knows? But in the meantime, if you want to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you. Let's start with email, because, you know, we all know email. Email us at the soundographypod. I'm sorry, not the. Take that off. If you type that, delete everything, start over. soundographypodcast@gmail.com. Then you can follow us on Twitter, because that's a little bit newer, at The Soundography on Twitter is where you can follow us. Soundography.com. Let's go back even older to the birth of the internet. Soundography.com is your website. You can find all of our previous episodes there, the show notes from every single episode, which contain great stuff like links to our playlist on Spotify, a link to where you can buy songs from Amazon from the artists that we talk about, as well as ways to support us. We love getting your support on Patreon, even if it's just a buck or two a month. And Hammond, you were great, sent out a quick thing to our patrons saying, look, if you've been a supporter on Patreon of all of us right now and continue to support us during everything that's going on, thank you for that. And I want to thank you for doing that, Hammond. I appreciate you doing that.
No, I was laying awake in the middle of the night. Because things are weighing on me like they do.
Yeah.
And I actually saw a fellow podcaster do a similar tweet. I'm like, you know what? That's actually a really nice thing to do. So thanks to Justin actually for setting the example. And I followed his example because it genuinely is important to have support during this time. And each and every person that supports us really is. I mean, they're helping us in great ways.
Oh, for sure. They totally are. So thank you, Hammond, for doing that. And thank you, listeners, for being there for us during all this. Whether you're a listener who isn't able to support us on Patreon, totally fine. Or if you're one of the ones who do, we appreciate you just as much. And you guys help keep the lights on for everyone who can't do it. So thank you for being there for that. If you have a review, we'd love to hear about it. We want to know what you think of our show. Leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts, whether that's iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Deezer, any of those things, Google Play. Whatever. Leave a review there and we'll check it out. We'd love to see what you have to say about our show. Hammond, anything to close us out of the Hollywood undead?
You know, I just wish that Charlie Sheen had not stolen my girlfriend.
Well, apparently Charlie Sheen likes to show something else around all over the place. I think that's from Everywhere I Go. Everywhere I Go. Yeah, that's what Charlie Sheen likes to show everywhere he goes. Hey, that's going to do it. On behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Ibbett saying thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Soundography.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.